Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Max Cryer, it might be said, wrote the book on the words and phrases we love to use. Actually, it can be said because he has written the book, and it's called Who Said That First? The Curious Origins of Common Words and Phrases. Max is with us now. Max, I get the impression this is the kind of book that has evolved over a long time. Is that the case? Have you been making notes about this for
years?
Absolutely,
although it took a long time for the idea to clarify, because like most people, I accepted the fact that people on television saying witty things were actually making them up as they went along. And I worked on television a great deal myself in New Zealand, where we had to make up as we went along. When I went to work in America, I discovered to my surprise that almost everything anybody said was actually written by professional writers. And the penny dropped when I had lunch with Lucille Ball one day and complimented her on the pleasure she gave, and she was blindingly honest. She said, "I would be nothing without the writers. It is all because of the writers." And what haunted my brain for the next 20 years was not the fact that there were writers, but that a person of her stature was honest enough to say it. So I started scratching. Who else was famous for saying something but didn't actually write it? And that's how it all happened.
And one of the ones that we were just discussing before that actually shocked me in the book is Tweedledum and Tweedledee. I was convinced that Lewis Carroll had created those names along with the characters, but not the case.
Well, when the proposal first went into the publisher's exile, they said, "We do like your work, Mr. Cryer. We especially like a little surprise now and then." Well, in this case, it wasn't hard to come up with some, because I thought that Tweedledum and Tweedledee stepped straight out of the looking glass. But no, they were at least over 100 years old by the time he wrote that. A man called Byrom invented the two names because at the time there was a row going on in London about two composers who were classical composers, and the newspapers and the public were divided which was better than the other. And Mr. Byrom wrote a satirical poem saying, "What a waste of time, people worrying about Tweedledum and Tweedledee." And everyone forgot it, except Lewis Carroll.
And the meaning has stayed consistent, hasn't it?
Yes.
Which isn't the case of all of them.
Yes, sort of contrasting pair of fools, I suppose.
Are there any other shocks in there, ones that you think will surprise people?
Well, yes, not exactly surprise. It's just that people don't stop to think, as I didn't stop to think until that famous lunch with Lucille Ball. If you say to someone, "Go ahead, make my day," you'll be drowned with shouts of Clint Eastwood. And if you look it up at any quote book, it will say Clint Eastwood. But he didn't write it. You know, can you imagine a film set and then suddenly everyone stops and Clint Eastwood says, "Oh, I've just thought of a good line," to say, well, no, it doesn't work like that. And I tracked down the man who said it. And there's another example which is interesting to media people like yourselves. Once the Queen stood up and she used the sentence, "This has been an annus horribilis." Now, every newspaper, every radio station, every TV station in the world showed that part of the sentence and no more. What she actually said was, in the words of one of my more sympathetic correspondents, "This has been an annus horribilis." So she wasn't claiming to have invented it. Of course, it was headlines around the world and has gone into the vernacular ever since. I had to track down the man who wrote the letter, and I finally did.
I was going to say, you've been doing this sort of thing for quite some time, the origins of words, the origins of sayings. Has it got so much easier thanks to the internet, or does that just cast a whole new level of doubt over things?
You've just answered the question yourself. It both makes it easier and casts a huge level of doubt. For instance, when you go home this evening, you put in, "Go ahead, make my day," and the internet will immediately say Clint Eastwood. So I have learned over the years not to trust anything. I recall when I was answering a question on radio about the definition of, or the origin of, OK, there are 12 separate origins. And a man wrote to the station and said, "I know what the origin of OK is. I read it on the internet." And I was obliged to point out, "Sir, because you read it on the internet doesn't make it true." So anybody can put anything.
Because in that situation, because you're dealing with things that presumably don't have too many public records in existence, especially as they go further and further back, you've just got to take, what, an educated guess, or you simply say, "We don't know"?
Well, no, I say we don't know. If I'm being asked something to which I can find no definite answer with provenance, with something literary and annotated with a date and a time, then I say I don't know. Or I say, OK has 12 explanations. Take your pick. whatever you pick, 11 other people around the world will disagree with you. But in terms of actually finding out, sometimes I have to give up and say, well, just nobody knows.
How did you do this before the internet?
Well, have you ever heard the word library? you see, Auckland has quite a number of those, and they're very good, and they're very cooperative. And there's a wonderful system in Auckland whereby you can request a book to your own suburb for the sake of $1, except that some libraries have reference books only in that building. So My Haunted Face is actually quite common in Point Chev and in Remuera and even in Takapuna, which doesn't belong to the main system. And there is a certain book I need over there, and I will go to that book and do my work and then go home. Yes, sometimes I've been known to look at the internet, but with extreme caution.
I must say, Max, I actually just enjoy hearing you say library there and pronouncing it properly.
Oh, well, thank you. you know, you were asking, Russell, about things which surprised people, or who didn't invent something. What I also came across was things that people didn't say. I mean, we all know that Play It Again, Sam, and lines like that are wrong, but what I was surprised at was that Queen Victoria never said, "We are not amused." There is no evidence whatever, and I'm speaking here of Lady Longford, the esteemed historian, who went through every bit of paper in the whole of Windsor Castle and found no evidence at all, nor would you believe did Conan Doyle ever say, "Elementary, my dear Watson." It's not in any of the Sherlock Holmes books. Nor did Marie Antoinette ever say, "Let them eat cake." It's one of those, in fact, I read that in the Herald the other day, you know, that so-and-so did not have a Marie Antoinette feeling. These things, and to answer your other question, those get onto the internet and people believe them.
One phrase I thought might be in there and isn't is toe the line, because that's one that people always get wrong. When they write it down, they write T-O-W, the line, and it's not.
No, it's T-O-E. Well, of course, you've touched a very sensitive point, Russell, in that the minute that book came out, everyone stopped me in the street and said, "Oh, we've got a suggestion you didn't have so-and-so." And I mean, there's about 300 in that book, and I suppose almost another 300 have cropped up, including that, as long as I could find where it came from. And sometimes these things aren't simple. Like, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's full of surprises. And I cried all the way to the bank, or laughed all the way to the bank, whatever. That is usually given to Liberace, but it's not true. It was quite old by then. So towing the line, which is T-O-E, and it's fairly obvious because you're waiting to be for the starter's pistol, aren't you?
I thought it was a military thing where when you're standing in parade formation, you all have to stand with your toe on a certain line in order to be in a straight line.
That makes sense. So does the starting pistol make sense. I'm afraid that when you say something, I think that always bothers me, because what bothers me most is my mother always said. People believe what they were told first, and this is the whole Clint Eastwood situation.
This seems like a great opportunity for Who Said That First, Volume 2, doesn't it? I mean, this is what the publisher has been talking to you about.
Thank you, but may I have time to breathe?
I just want to get back to the age of some of these sayings, because in quite a lot of cases, it seems they turn out to be older than we thought.
Yes, it falls into various categories. There are some things that are quite modern, such as the reputed belief that Sarah Palin said, "I can see Russia from my house," which is a total lie. She never said that. Now, that's very modern indeed.
Tina Fey said that.
Tina Fey said it, yes. But you ask 9 Americans out of 10 will tell you they saw Sarah Palin do it, but of course it wasn't her. Then there are others that go back to the sort of 4th century, you know, BC. One of the oldest there, and it's the only one in its category, which I'll explain in a minute, is "Red sky at night is the shepherd's delight." Did you get as far as that, Russell?
No, I didn't. I've been dipping in and out.
Well, you can with that book, but "Red Sky at Night" is the first known utterance of it was a Mr. Jesus, who didn't say those exact words, but the meaning is quite obvious in the book of Matthew. And that's gone down through centuries, and it's been slightly modified. "Red sky at night is the shepherd's delight," etc. But I did at one point have to make a decision that there would be no Shakespeare and no Bible in my book, because they've both been done by other scholars, and the amount of Shakespearean words and expressions in our ordinary day speech is colossal. There is, at the end of the book, there's a page and a half of Shakespearean expressions which will blow your mind, because you didn't know they were his. And the Bible, of course, has been surveyed many, 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 many times, and a lot of its words are in common use. So I searched elsewhere than those two.
Would it be correct to say in the case of the Bible that Mr. Jesus had great writers too?
Well, yes, I'm afraid that is so, because there is no one was ever there who wrote down what Mr. Jesus said. It was all written down 100 years later. But notice my wording. The first known use of the expression in print was Mr. Jesus.
Thank you very much, Max. It's great to see finally in one volume so many hours spent at the local libraries. It's a really good thing to see. I appreciate your time today.
Max Cryer there. And, of course, Who Said That First is available in all good bookstores under the Exile imprint. After the break, former Golden Horse member Ben King on music and food.